This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This one's for you tonight.
Okay, let's get started.
Amy. Can you hear me? Can you see me?
I can hear you and see you now.
Really? So was it frozen for just 1 second?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, well, so the audience knows, Little Turtle Cuties and Villa Rosa VIPs alike, obviously you know something's wrong the minute you hear this audio. You're like, what the hell is happening to Turtle Time? There is a problem, and the problem is that I am remote recording from Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, in a like a sort of a cabin in the woods. I have the worst internet you can ever have, and people will say, why would you ever do a podcast ever with no internet and you know, with grainy video and everything? And that's just because Amy and I cannot let our Turtle Time community down, and we have to talk about the latest episode of Vanderpump Rules. So please, for the love of God, forgive me for wanting to record Turtle Time in an old abandoned woodshed in Oregon. I promise this is not indicative of Turtle Time's quality. If this is the first time listening, what a horrible episode to listen to your first time. This is not indicative of Turtle Time's quality. In fact, it's the exact opposite. But we are barreling through, right?
Yeah, I mean, every time we record somewhere different, it adds a little flavor, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And the reason I'm in Eugene, I mean, not that anybody asked, but it's my sister's baby shower. And I just felt that instead of recording Turtle Time in person and missing that event, I should probably, you know, I should probably go to the baby shower. So that's sort of where my moral conundrum was.
Yeah, the Turtle Time priorities are clear.
They are. That I love my sister and I want to honor her. Family first, but also I'm taking 2 hours out of my day to go up here. But I feel very confident that you and I are going to do our due diligence and make this a great episode despite all of these technological hurdles that we're suffering through.
Yeah. May the Wi-Fi gods be with us. Hopefully we don't have any horrific issues. I was just listening to Natalie Portman on that podcast Smartless with all those men. And she had so many problems that
really?
In the end she got disconnected and they just didn't call her back.
No way. So even three of the biggest heavy hitters in the podcast community, Jason Bateman, whatever the hell else that guy's name is, and yeah. Will Arnett, even they can't get Natalie Portman to sound good on a podcast.
Yeah, she was late because her first the Wi-Fi wasn't working, then her computer died, then she got multiple phone calls during it. She had to accept a package, and then in the end, her either her computer died or something happened. She disconnected, and they were like, "All right, we're done."
Because it was just too many things that had gone wrong.
Yeah, they were like, I think we're good.
Do you think she has a tough time with technology in general?
Maybe, yeah. Jason Bateman was joking that she needs like a house manager or something to deal with her tech and her packages.
In between all of the horrible shit that was going on with her like audio and phone calls and stuff, was she providing quality in terms of what she was saying?
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I've sort of turned the tide on Natalie Portman a little bit. I used to love her and think she's one of the best actors of all time, but now, I don't know. I don't have that same strong feeling towards Portman or any of her roles anymore.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't know why that is.
I liked May December.
Oh, yeah. I liked May December okay. The Academy did not like it. No, you know, I thought we were sort of in solidarity where it was like, this was okay.
Right. Like, I could see both sides kind of a thing.
It was a movie where I was like, I never need to see this again in my life. And for me, that's the metric of like, that separates a, you know, medium quality movie to a high quality movie. If I never want to see it again, that's kind of rough for me.
Me and my friends were just talking about that movie last night because I went and saw Madonna at the Forum. And,
oh my God.
She wears like a grill now or something. She has like silver teeth and it gives her kind of a lisp. And she sounds like that Julianne Moore character with the lisp in May December.
Wow. Whoa. Wow. What a choice. So she purposefully has something on her mouth that alters her speech while she's in concert.
Yeah, while performing on a like world tour seems like a weird choice, but you know, I don't really
get. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, go ahead. No, go. You go ahead. See,
I just
please.
Think wearing a grill seems terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I had a period of, you know, a few years in college where I wore a huge grill, but it's, I think you got to just think about in terms of your message. What's going to help you get your message out the best? And having an impediment in your mouth while you're trying to sing and talk, that would be rough to me.
Yeah, maybe I never do teeth gems instead.
I like that. That is, they're not as cumbersome in your mouth. If you're watching the video, you can see obviously that Amy and I have a bunch of gems in our mouth. It's much easier to talk. But I was just going to say, I've never been able to forgive Madonna for that time when Drake at Coachella, when she came over to him and she started making out with him in his mouth, and then he had to spit out her kiss because he was so grossed out that she made out with him. Do you remember that moment?
No, I don't. I blocked it out.
Oh, it was rough. It was in the middle of Drake's performance, and he had a song called Madonna at the time, and then he thought, obviously, it'd be an amazing cameo to have Madonna come out on stage, but then Madonna came out on stage, and she was wearing this like shirt that said Turnt on it, and she had like a backwards hat, and I think she had a grill, and she like sort of sauntered over to Drake while he was sitting in a chair, and then she, I mean, really made out with him hard while he was in a chair, like head back, and she sort of was giving him a huge major kiss, and Drake was, I have to say, his reaction was disgust.
That's sad.
And it was sort of, it was sad, and it was shocking, and it just, it made me reassess a lot of things in my life.
She didn't have enthusiastic consent.
That was a part of it, too. That was a bridge too far. If anybody remembers that Coachella moment from 2014, let me know, because it was shocking for me. But I think Madonna has rebounded in pop culture since then. That was just only my one window into Madonna, because I don't have a lot of, I'm not very familiar with her, so I only got to see her through the Drake lens. And through the Drake lens, it was not a flattering portrait of Madonna.
Right.
But that's it, you know.
Yeah. No, I had a great time. I'm not...
Oh, what else can I say about... just for everyone. I think either I'm glitched out or Amy is. I think once you talk about Madonna at Coachella, Riverside sort of doesn't want you to get the word out or whatever. So it sort of makes the quality or whatever really bad. So anyway, while Amy is a little glitched out, I'm going to just pretend that people laughed at what I was saying. So just one second.
Can you hear me yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Yes.
Great. That was perfect. I was just going to say, I'm not necessarily a Madonna scholar, but obviously she permeates all culture. And I did have the Immaculate Collection on CD growing up, so I know all the hits. And it was honestly a great show. Like, you know, she's in her mid-60s, I think. And she, you know, she can't do what she used to do, but they did a good job of, you know, making up for that with the dancers, like sort of like always being around her and a lot of spectacle. And all the dancers were beautiful and shirtless. And it was really fun. I had a good time. I, you know, actually also the Forum is so much smaller than I thought, because I'm used to going to Beyonce shows that are always at football stadiums. So like at the Forum for $100, I thought our seats were amazing.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm trying to think if I've been to the Forum. Is that the one with really shitty seats? Like the quality of the seats are like sort of wood stools that you're sitting on?
They were sort of just average, like stadium chairs. Okay. But it's actually right next to SoFi, or SoFi is right next to it, rather.
Okay. Yeah, I saw a Modest Mouse at the Forum one time, and I think I said I'll never go back here again, just because of the I didn't think the visibility was good at the Forum, and also the seats were the most uncomfortable I've ever sat in my life. But maybe they've sort of figured that out.
When you told me that last time, then I said that I saw Modest Mouse at the Universal Amphitheater. I was like, what happened to that place? And one of our cuties commented that it's Harry Potter Land now. So, if you were wondering.
Oh, witches. Right. The theater that you were talking about last time is now.
I also saw the Britney Spears Baby One More Time tour. I think Riley's back now.
Yeah. So, just so everyone knows, I'm in a sort of a shed environment. And we talk a lot about on Patreon how we record in Ken and Lisa's shed outside of Villa Rosa, but the internet is so good in that shed. And unfortunately, the shed here, where I'm in now in Oregon, is not nearly up to the, you know, quality of that normal shed, which is something, you know, you could say, you could argue that we should have known this going in, that I would have horrible internet, but that wouldn't be the Turtle Time way. The Turtle Time way is to talk about Madonna. Talk about our feelings about the Forum. And then
for a second you looked like it was like Tom Goes the Mayor, where you were just like
wow, you know. So I mean, I have to say, it is very clearly on my end that we're having this issue. So I think we have to say, you can't win them all, you know, Amy, how we have that philosophy. We say that every week, where we say we got, you know, we say sometimes we go, that was one of our best episodes of all time. And then secretly we say that was pure dog shit.
Yeah.
I think we got to just lean into this being a sort of, you know, I don't know, just kind of a shit show mess and hope that there's enough beautiful words that people can hear through the garbled mess that they like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that okay? But you just said, you kind of set the stage. If Natalie Portman sounded like absolute shit on a podcast that's worth $50 million, you know, they got like $50 million, then who the hell are we to be better than them?
Yeah. I'm not taking on those boys.
Yeah. If anything, we should let their low bar make us feel like we can sink lower.
I agree. Let's make it worse and worse.
Well, was there news that you wanted to talk about before we got into this sort of controversial episode of Vanderpump Rules?
There wasn't. I mean, we covered so much news last week that there wasn't too much left. The main thing was just quickly, I saw that Countess Luann is potentially dating Mary-Kate Olsen's ex, that Sarkozy gentleman. What is he, like the president's brother or something like that? The French French president's brother? Oh, is that who that is?
The French president's brother. Is that why they made that movie about him called The French President's Brother? I didn't know that. I've heard Sarkozy, but I had no idea that was him. I don't know anything about that guy.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. There's that famous picture of him kissing Mary-Kate on the forehead at a basketball game or whatever.
Yes.
And then I don't know, but I'm happy for her. I think she loves a Frenchman, obviously, as we know.
Right. Yeah, I'm happy for anyone Luann dates. Like, I would be happy. Well, I guess, I don't know. If she was, I guess, there's a couple people where I'd be like, oh, I don't want Luann to date that person. But Sarkozy, I don't know anything about him. I only, just like you said, I only saw one photo where he was sort of cradling Mary-Kate's head and kissing her at that game. But I don't know anything about him. I mean, is he, do people like him?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about him either. Also, I forgot Mary-Kate was married to him, and all I remember is that at her wedding, I know that there were bowls of cigarettes, which I always found to be quite iconic and cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool to smoke, like you're saying.
Yeah, we are pro-cigarette pod, as we've discussed.
Yeah, no, I like that too. I sort of fell off from Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen after their sort of their Full House era. I never really caught up with them post that. Wow. So whatever they were doing, I didn't really, I wasn't as interested, but I'm glad that now her former husband can now date Luann. I think that's nice.
Yeah, they weren't part of your indie sleaze era the way they were mine.
What did they, how did they intersect? They were cool and hip for a period of time, right?
Yeah, that they had that grungy New York thing going. They would carry their, like their Birkin bag would be like torn to shit. They're like, we're so rich, I don't give a fuck.
That's so cool. Do you think in a couple of years, in maybe 3 or 4 years, people will take a paparazzi photo of you and I on the streets of New York for some reason, and we sort of look like them in 2005 or whenever that was?
Like little like cigarette goblins wearing scarves and like Balenciaga
and, like,
boots.
And like for some reason, like, right, and for some reason, like we're with the Strokes, right?
Yes, 100%.
Do you see... Wait, I'm sorry, I have to put the laugh track because you sort of froze. So imagine Amy and I with paparazzi, and then you see us, we're smoking cigarettes, we're kind of bedraggled, we're both holding Birkin bags, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, Julian Casablancas is with us.
I like that.
All right, like cool. I wanted to say that this kind of you just teed me up with news, so I didn't know we were going to talk about Sarkozy, but... In talking about Sarkozy, you reminded me that Luann, before she started wanting to marry Sarkozy, she had a little dalliance with Joe Bradley, which I don't know him yet.
Yeah.
I know we're going to have a Southern Hospitality era. Megan actually already had it on in our hotel room because she wanted to be a part of the Southern Hospitality world, and I got glimpses into it. And I was like, okay, this is not like... It's good. I mean, it's decently good. I haven't fully like had my take on it or given it my full attention, but I was happy with what I was seeing. But anyway, okay. Danielle confirmed that when we heard that Joe Bradley and Luann were getting sort of cozy after their Watch What Happens Live appearance, Danielle thinks almost without a shadow of a doubt that he hooked up with Luann that night and they ended their relationship, which I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, she said that he had shared his location with her while he was in New York, which is a bold move, I guess, but she just saw his little dot on the map going to the Upper East Side, which can only mean one thing. if you're going up,
you've got to be with Luann if your little dot's going up to the East Side.
Yeah. I love it. I love that Luann's back on the prowl and making headlines week after week.
Me too. Was she like, she's just been actively dating this whole time, right? She hasn't had a significant partner in the last 5 or so years, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that was interesting. So that was, I think, last Thursday. And then this Thursday, Lindsay Hubbard is going to be on Watch What Happens Live, which I can't wait. I assume she's trying to do damage control because.
Yeah.
If you read any of her comments, her last post, I think, unless she's posted since, is a picture of her and West. And she has like 1,000 comments that are almost entirely negative.
Okay. And were you able to see even one positive?
There were a couple sprinkled in that were like, you know, like sort of asking the others to have understanding. But... by and large, no. Like, it seems like people sought out her profile to let out their feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not seen much pro-Lindsay sentiment. If you're able to articulate a Lindsay defense, you should like have at it, because it would be really interesting. I guess Danielle tried. I still haven't watched that Watch What Happens Live yet. I think Danielle kind of tried, but I have not seen very, like, maybe only one, like, pro-Lindsay defense in my entire scouring of the internet. What do you think if now she is, so now if, let's say Watch What Happens Live happened, like, comes out, or sorry, she records on Thursday, but she listens to Turtle Time right before. What advice would you say to her? So imagine she's just doing her daily, like, she's on the way to Watch What Happens Live to record, but she has to listen to Turtle Time because she loves our takes. What would you say to her that she could say live to the world to get her out of this nightmare that she put herself in?
I think it's a similar advice to Sandoval. You have to just come hat in hand and own it and say that you're sorry, and that she should say that she was, the honest answer is that she was insecure with him reintegrating into the group, and that she felt like she was going to get left in the lurch.
Yes.
But I don't think she
could. I don't think so either. But Lindsay, here's my advice. You know, we've been pretty critical of you based off your actions on this podcast, but I know you listen. And so here's my advice. I would say I was blackout drunk and I lied about how coherent I was when I made this decision. I was actually blackout drunk, and I don't know what part of me wanted to hit you so low with your worst fear or your worst nightmare. I don't know what caused me to do that, but I would have never done that with the sober state of mind. But I woke up so scared of what I had said that I tried to double down in the moment and I am sorry for that. I should have never let it continue. I should have apologized in the morning, but I just could not believe that I had hit that one sore spot that I thought was, you know, so awful. So I decided to pretend there was some validity there, but I never should have done that. And I think, like, that's what I said for Sutton when she was doing that really dumb Magic Mike thing, when she went on that tirade against Magic Mike about how she was like, this is improper, and I'm going to lose the Ballet Academy's vote if they see me at Magic Mike or whatever. She just had this such a dumb defense for just drunken behavior.
Yeah.
And I think Lindsay should just pull out the full blackout drunk card on this one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know. I don't see why people are afraid to... you know, I think for the most part, people are quite forgiving if you say, sorry, I went to the dark side. Like, that doesn't usually happen to me, but sometimes it does. And I knew not what I did, and sorry.
Yes, sorry. And the worst thing I did was try to excuse my actions in the morning by bringing it up again. That's something that, you know, I'll live with and regret forever. But I don't know what caused me to use that horrible dagger against you in the moment, but I'm going to work on that. And I really think Carl would have been receptive to that. He'd be like, yeah, I remember having horrific moments when I was drunk too. That's what led me to make this decision. There's some like bonding there they could have. So
yeah, I think, I really think that their honeymoon bubble was... she was sober for however long she was in support of him. They were kind of just like living in their own place and not having to deal with everyone else. And I feel like the second they left the safety of that environment and she started drinking again, it was just a shit show.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, an underrated aspect of this is that Carl was able to integrate back into the group very easily. He just gave him that lobster dinner and they were thanking him. They were being so sweet to him. And she felt overly uncomfortable about her place, even though I don't think the cast was treating her that badly. I really don't think that they gave her that. I think that was all in her head. And the minute, like you said, that Carl like negated her feelings about how awkward it really was, it sent her spiraling. Okay, well, that's our advice for Lindsay, and I'm just going to play, you know, clapping sound, just because that's the end of that segment, and I imagine that Little Turtle Cuties and Villa Rosa VIPs will be clapping after we said that.
I know I am.
I am, too. Okay, well, I think that's a good positive. Do you think Lindsay will listen to this in the morning? She'll be like, well, their audio was kind of shit, but I still love what Turtle Time said.
Yeah. No, I really can't wait to see. I hope Andy's hard on her. I don't know that he will be. And I feel like she's going to try and spin it somehow and bring up... I feel like she's confident that there's going to be more to come. Like, you'll see, you know.
Right. But then it'll be like, we'll see what Carl does. And it's like, we fully still have the view that we have. That, like, what Carl did was not nearly as egregious as what Lindsay did.
Yeah.
But you're probably right. If I'm predicting it, I say she doubles down. I mean, we've seen her inability to spin things based on how, you know, she's acted post Carl and post breakup.
Yeah, and her shitty Notes app Instagram story last week is not a good sign. But
yeah,
we'll see.
All right.
But yeah, should we hop into Saw It on the Gram?
Yeah, let's hop into it. I think I'm going to have a hard time talking about this episode, so I want to just lead with asking you, because you sort of teased your thoughts about Vanderpump Rules, you know, as a whole in our emergency episode last week, and I'm like, you know, I'm conflicted if I'm ready to say that, but this episode I think was sort of make or break. So how did you feel about this episode, the second chapter in the Lake Tahoe adventure?
I mean, it's just kind of, as we said, depressing. I guess it's interesting in that we're getting more and more of, I guess specifically Sheena having to grapple with being on the razor's edge of having to not forgive Sandoval, but like deal with him. Like they really like forced her hand.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting and emotional, but like you brought up last week, like, I'm sorry, you guys, and don't call me a misogynist, I know you will, but when they cut to Katie and Ariana on the flip side, when they don't have the group, what they're doing with their time, like you said last week, is horrific. And if you guys out on the internet that I've seen time and time again say you want a something about her spinoff, that's what you would get. And congratulations, you lose. It would be terrible.
Well, I'm glad I asked your opinion. Here's what I'll say. Okay. I agree that what I said last week was that I think that they should have had strong counter programming to the Lake Tahoe trip. Stronger than sitting down to hire staff. But a huge part of the problem with their storyline, and I think everyone will agree with me, is that we know in real time that this sandwich shop is basically shuttered with like yellow tape around it. People keep going by it and going, there is nothing like here. So the fact that this happened with Schwartz and Sandy, so it's not specific to them, but knowing that ultimately there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow with this storyline, knowing that they're still actively trying to get the sandwich shop off the ground, and we're watching them pretend to hire staff. They're not pretending because they thought that they were going to, but having them interview staff for a restaurant that is currently not open and has no plans to be open is just, it's just hard to watch. And you could say that about any other cast member. Like any other cast member, if ultimately you knew that the storyline was not going to resolve, then it's not interesting to watch the storyline.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that they hired that man with the pickle tie and he's just been waiting for a year for the call? Like, can I come in?
Yeah. He's got like a pickle phone next to his bed and he's like, I said I was a big dill. Did they not like that joke? I totally think that all of this storyline was built around the idea that the sandwich shop would be open in our current era, and the fact that it's not is very it's detrimental to our enjoyment of what they're doing. But I also will say that two cast members on their own doing anything, it's a really hard battle to fight, because we've learned, seeing these cast members isolated, the power of Vanderpump Rules comes from their internal dynamics when they're all together. All the best scenes generally are when the whole cast is partying together. That's what these shows are built around. So we saw Stassi, one of the most powerful cast members of Vanderpump Rules. Even she could not hack it when she just, it was just her and Katie or her and Christina Kelly. It's just not as fun to watch. And so Ariana and Katie are now in that position where no matter who you are, it is really hard to bring the power of Vanderpump Rules when there's just two of you. Together. Right. It's just not the Vanderpump Rules experience. So they're having a rough time, and I don't know how long. I think this is about probably when Alex Baskin had to have a all hands meeting at Evolution to say, "Hey, I'm a little worried about the trajectory of this season. Let's figure out what we have to do." Do you think that right. this might be around that time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it can't go on like this. And it's like, I understand, it's like, I don't want to say, you know, you're part of the show, you have to participate, like, you have to go on a trip with your yeah. ex who cheated on you or whatever, but at the same time, yeah. I'm like, that's the gig.
I know. Yeah, but I'm conflicted about that because, okay, so you could give Ariana actually credit for saying, never in my real life, in my reality, would I ever see this person again, ever. Ever in my life, they would be. I would be, have moved. I would have like never said their name again. But I am now being forced through friends and through Lisa and through production to talk to this person again. That is not my reality. So we're actually wanting you and I and the audience wants Ariana to have a fake storyline for the show, right?
Yeah, but that's the name of the game. Like the entire. I understand, like, a lot of what has made this show great historically is that they are doing what they would be doing anyways. But, like, with trips and stuff, like, they're always unnatural. Like, on Housewives, I'm like, none of those bitches would be going anywhere together ever. Like, that's not, like, you know, it's that's part of it.
Yeah. They, you know, you're right. Okay, so it's like we allow for fake behavior to a certain extent if overall we think people are being true to themselves in this sort of manufactured environment. So Ariana not giving us that 20% where she's like, yeah, I would never go on this trip, but obviously you know why I did. Like, yeah. we need that a little bit for the quality of the show. We need a little bit of that producer brain there, right?
Yeah. 'Cause, like, obviously Sheena wouldn't have gone on that trip. Like, her and Lala were saying that if it was their trip, of course Tom wouldn't be on it. And Sheena seemed extremely miserable being put into that dynamic, but that's what the whole episode was about, was how hard it was for her to have to be around him.
Yeah, no, totally. I think that this is why this season is testing me a little bit, because the artificiality of all of the circumstances, because I know that no one would be acting like this to Sandoval at this point in time, only 4 months after, it makes me suspect of all of the actions of the cast members, like Lala, James, Sheena, even though I think that Sheena's emotions were genuine, I still just, this is such an artificial environment now, and it ruined the dynamics in a way that it's never ruined them in the past. I mean, everyone else was able to be forgiven faster than Sandoval, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean,
yeah. I will say,
it wasn't. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm so far. I mean, we'll get into it. And Lala was on Watch What Happens After, and part of me is kind of like, I know that you were more suspicious of her Rachel phone message. And whatever, but I think part of me is kind of like, so Lala has always had one foot out the door, which is not one foot out the door, but you know, was never all the way in on her storyline, which is what Sandoval was pissed at her about, which is a classic Bravo argument. When someone's giving less than everyone else, people resent that. But for that very reason is why I kind of believe her about what she's, that her willingness to not completely forgive Sandoval, but give him a break, because she's kind of like, yeah, I don't like give a shit. Like, this isn't my whole life. Like, let's move on. Like, whereas everyone else, it's like they're everything, You know, like, right. Tashina, he's, like, her whole world and her whole, like, show and, like, her whole being. And, like, for Ariana, I mean, he just actually was her life partner. So, like, there's that. But
right.
Lala's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I have my own life. Like, I don't need this to be my whole world anymore. Like, I'm good, you know? And I kind of believe that.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's definitely truth to that. It's like, why am I going to hold a grudge for so long against this person that, like, is a cast member on my show, right? It's right. Like, it's probably hard for her to be that emotionally invested in this. Yeah, so I guess I do find her navigating the show interesting. But Sheena for me is one where I am slightly, like, I know that Sandoval means so much to her, and I know that Sandoval is saying Sheena means so much to him, but, like, I guess, do you fully buy how much they want to be back in each other's lives? I mean, I know Sheena could not, like, she would not be able to act her ass off like that, to, like,
yeah,
genuinely break down so many times and cry and be so upset, but I'm wondering if they both just know how powerful this scene is going to be on Vanderpump Rules, and they're sort of, like, heightening their love for each other or not.
Yeah. I think, like, I believe her that this is real, but she's kind of being a little, I don't know what the word is, like, not clumsy, but going about it the wrong way. Like, I think that phone call to Ariana was misguided.
Yeah.
Where it's like, why do you need her? I know that she just, like, wants her approval so that she doesn't have to feel guilty about her feelings.
Yeah.
But it's like, she is not the one. Like,
no.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And Ariana said something in the after show where she was like, I'm sorry, I am not going to be the person to sign off on this.
Yeah.
And Katie said something, you know, that was kind of like, that I took into account, which she was like, this is not your audience, Sheena. You're trying to get Ariana to like, allow for the fact that Sandoval was a wonderful friend to you and that you missed it so much. Like, why does Ariana need to hear this? Like,
right.
She thinks he's one of the worst people in the world and he hurt her so bad. So I do understand that. But then Sheena's impulse for why she wants to call Ariana is what you said. It's like every single minute that she even looks at Sandoval in his eyes, she wants to text Ariana immediately to be like, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm so sorry for what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, she feels so guilty of any moment she shares with Sandoval.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah. But it's like, I think that so far this season has had too many montages reminding us of the good times. But yeah. I guess maybe some people need a reminder because they don't watch it as frequently as we do. But like every single person, every time Sandoval has a conversation with someone, they remind us for like 30 seconds or 1 minute their past. Like, Sheena, at least, like, does have, like, there's something there for sure. Like,
yes.
That's real. Whereas, like, when Katie is talking about this, I'm like, you've hated him the whole time. Like, you couldn't be happier that now you can just dismiss this whole thing, dismiss him, say, Sheena, like, he sucks. Like, why would you ever want to be friends with him? I'm like, you never liked him. And you honestly never liked Sheena either. So it's like, her opinion doesn't matter much to me on this topic.
That's true. She's there to articulate and validate what Ariana is saying about the situation. Well, I was thinking about this concept of, like, Ariana writing off anyone who would have Sandoval in their life, but, like, isn't that sort of dependent on how meaningful the friend is in your life? Like, if Sheena did say, I went to dinner with Sandoval, Brock loves him, and I am coming to terms with, you know, him as a person, and he's genuinely apologized to me, doesn't Ariana sort of have to factor in if Sheena means more to him than whatever Sandoval is bringing on that side of the friendship? Like, there is a limit to who you would write off in your life, right?
Yeah.
Like, Lala might be easier for her to write off.
Sure. I mean, I think that's a common problem for people. Like, you lose friends in the divorce, right? Like, I think a lot of times people just have to go one way or the other, which
sucks, yeah, I mean, my divorce was hard on my friend group.
But like one of the Watch What Happens Live poll questions, which I watched live, so I got to vote. It was fun.
No way.
Yeah.
Were you the majority?
I feel like a lot of the time I was, but one of the questions, I needed more context. It said, would you be able to forgive Tom Sandoval? And I'm like, as who? Like, what was our relationship?
As you. No, as you. As you. If he came up to you and he said, Amy, I have heard Turtle Time, and I know you're critical of me, but I just want to apologize directly to you that I shattered your image of me. I apologize. What do you think? Do you think you could forgive him?
I don't want to get canceled. It's hard enough out on these streets. People hate us.
I know. Well, if it's any consolation, we have a lot of good reviews, and then, of course, we have horrific reviews that make us want to cry and never record again, but they're all about being labeled misogynists. Like, yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple one-star reviews in our latest batch that, I'm sorry, you guys, I'm not defending him by any means. I just think it's boring to just say he's a sociopath cheater, the end, he should be gone, and whatever. We have to talk about the matter at hand, and the relationships that have existed for 10 years are complicated, and I just want to get into the minutiae of
me too
how to move forward.
Yeah, and we're also we're talking about it in terms of entertainment. These are not our friends.
We don't have
a parasocial relationship. Lest we forget, this is we are judging this as if it is entertainment. So I think that's why saying a scene might not hit very hard is just our objective take, or our no, it's not objective. It's our opinion on the entertainment value that we're deriving from this. But I understand the reason why I'm okay with those one-star reviews that are calling us horrible, horrible names and casting aspersions on our character are because I know that this is just such a hot topic, and I know that people, any scene where you say Tom Sandoval was more entertaining, you know, in this scene, it's just too hard for people to hear something like that. And so I'm okay with the fact that just people who are really passionate with their hatred of Tom Sandoval, that's the only people so far that we're being deemed horrible people by, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I just, when we, you know, as we've said on Patreon, we're rewatching the show from the beginning. We're on season 4 right now. And lest we forget, come on, guys. The entire show is about bad behavior. That is the whole point. Everyone is a monster. Jax is a monster. James is a monster. Kristen at times is a monster. Ariana at times is a monster. Tom, all of them. That's the point. That is the log line. Like, come watch these emotionally immature people have sex with each other and deal with the consequences of fucking in their workplace and their lives being a shit show. That is the point.
Yeah.
I don't come to Vanderpump for maturity or kindness. I come for entertainment, and I know that we've grown up, and they've grown up, and their behavior should have improved, and in a lot of ways it has, which is disappointing sometimes.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's true. I mean, it's true what you say, and I think that we just have to go forward on this. It's hard to talk about this season, but we just have to go forward with that caveat in mind, that Amy and I are just speaking as tried and true Vanderpump Rules watchers, which I know a lot of you are, and we are judging this based off its quality in comparison with its history.
Yes.
And whether Tom Sandoval has a powerful scene in which he cries and Sheena cries and they imagine life as if one of them were dead, it's hard for me as a Vanderpump Rules viewer to not derive a lot of power from something like that. And I can't just say, well, Tom Sandoval is completely evil and he lies to everyone and he's a despicable person, so I don't believe anything he ever says in any scene. This is just not the way that this show is built. It's like when James was being like, they wanted to throw tomatoes at him. They wanted him gone. They wanted to ice him out and not film with him. And then Vanderpump Rules producers rightfully showed a scene where he went to dinner with his family and he gave his brother $1,000 for his graduation and he said, "Mommy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. I love when we're all together." And you got to see this glimpse of James as a human, and all the cast members were so pissed because there was like, they were like, "Why did you show James in that beautiful, loving, touching moment where he was giving his family money?" It's like, because that's the reality.
Yeah.
That's the reality. You all do great things too, but you weren't all derided as a monster at that time in history. So anyway, all that to say is that it's complicated, it's nuanced, but we are trying to, I don't know why I'm even justifying, 99% of people are fine with this. I'm talking to the two bad reviews, but
everyone is tuning out now.
Right. No, it's, yeah, no. Well, let's move past it. I'm just saying I feel like it's not our moral duty to judge this, the behavior of the cast members. It's, we're judging it based off entertainment and adding a little bit of like psychology and morality in there, but mostly judging it as the quality of the show.
Yes. That said, I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, so here's my thoughts, really, because now I've had time to think about it, and you really warmed me up. I'm feeling hot, 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 and ready to tell my takes. Okay. I thought the meditation scene was very, very powerful for me as a Vanderpump Rules watcher. I felt like the entire episode, if the whole episode would have been the meditation session, I would have thought it's like Emmy award winning. Like that was something. That was, and I will get into it. The rest of the episode sort of peters out because the other relationships that the cast members have with Sandoval are less impactful. Brock trying to get his little minute. It's not Brock's fault. He just wanted to talk about an aspect of Sandoval that I'm not interested in all in. That one day rumor that he cheated with Raquel, which came from some blogger that just like got picked up and a bunch of people just spread fake news. I do not care about that. Lala wanted an apology, which I understand why Lala wants a piece of Sandoval. I understand why she wants to talk about something with him, like that he called her not real, and she's saying you were being the biggest liar in the world, so you're a hypocrite. Those, though, were so much less dramatic because I don't really care as much about where Brock and Sandoval or where Lala and Sandoval end up. To me, all of the crux of the power was Sheena and Sandoval. So I wish that the episode was like just the meditation session because that was an amazing scene, but then the rest, it sort of dragged, and I was like, okay, no one else, you're not going to top what just happened between Sheena and Sandoval. So it was sort of a mixed bag for me.
Yeah, I feel like that meditation instructor watched the episode of OC where Shannon had to lie in her own grave.
I was thinking about it too. Who, you can't not have a profound moment if you're looking at someone in your life and imagining them dead.
Yeah, that was like, you know what I mean? They really went for the jugular. Like Tom was saying in the after show, he was like, "Well, that is not what I wanted." She's like, right. He basically said that it went, his words, not mine. He said that she went straight to anal, spiritual anal.
Yeah, and that's just, to reiterate, that's not what you called it. He said that. So let's skip forward because we already talked about Ariana's photo shoot a little bit, and it just starts out with the meditation scene. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Did you notice, though, the diet squirt can at the very beginning?
Of course. It's like it's a little Easter egg for us.
Why don't they have
for
to
blur squirt-eyed
it?
Viewers? I think whatever family of soda products those are in, they have the right to show it. It's like how they can show Coors Lights. I think,
right.
It's like they can show Coors Lights. I think it's just some brands allow themselves to be seen, and Squirt must be a part of that family.
I like that. Also, right before we move on, they showed Tom journaling, and it was quite basic if you read it. It was just like,
yes,
today's been crazy, didn't get enough sleep, blah, blah, blah. But then there was a part of it blurred, and I'm dying to know what it was.
Yeah, you're right. It was sort of pretty generic, because I also paused on it. It was like, I had a wild day of filming. It was so bad. But then Sheena was at Chili's, and she said, "Come sit with me," and I really liked it. And then and then the middle and the end is blurred.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, I don't know how, I don't know if it was going to be a spoiler, if it was a scene that was edited out. you know, or if it was pertaining to something. I don't really think Sandoval would have had the power to say, please don't show that.
Right. Maybe it was something about Rachel and they were like, let's not deal with all that.
Yeah, it like complicates the narrative a little bit to hear like what he's saying about Rachel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something that like Rachel said to him or, you know, or something that they didn't want. Yeah. I bet it was just more not nefarious and more just it would confuse the viewers.
Right. So yeah. Yeah, we can skip past Ariana's photo shoot. She's doing her whatever you call it, recipe book. What do you call that? Cocktail book?
Yeah, her cocktail book. I mean, and you know, this is this is her breakup album, she said. So mm-hmm. she's telling Katie, it's like, obviously we know that her first attempt at this was completely co-opted by Sandoval. So now she gets to do her solo one. And I like that cocktail book, and I like the justification for this and everything. But I think, like we said before, just having Katie as a scene partner and them isolated, it lessens the impact of these scenes, like we said before.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that is an amazing thing that Ariana is doing, and it's so cool that she's doing a book. But in actuality, when you're watching someone get ready to do a thing where the final product is like a book or whatever, I don't know. It's like, how do you make that more entertaining?
Yeah.
Like, could that ever be entertaining no matter who was doing it?
Right. Yeah. Did you get that book? Do you have it?
I did not get it yet. I'm saving it for a special occasion. I think someone's going to get it for me as a gift.
Yeah.
And so I've been waiting. I haven't personally purchased it yet. What about you?
No, I don't have it either. I found the old one, the fancy AF. I have that in my possession still, but I've never cracked it.
You haven't made a cocktail from it?
No.
Well, I think we should rectify this horrible decision that we don't have drinks for bad bitches, and I think you and I should co-own a copy and make one, you know, a drink from there. I got to drink one of those drinks at one point, and it was one of the best cocktails I've ever had in my life. So I think you and I should crack the book on the new one and make one of those things.
All right, that sounds good.
But also, I'm just you go ahead. I'm sorry. This is a Riverside problem.
I just wanted to tell you that at Madonna last night, they only had Chardonnay, which I do not drink. And so I drank Twisted Tea.
You were saying?
Like on the old days teas, of Summer House. Yeah.
they had Chardonnay or Twisted Tea?
That's it.
do you think Madonna specifically wanted her audience to be hopped up on Twisted Tea?
I think so, but they should get Loverboy in there.
They definitely should. Well, you know, okay, my only thoughts about this, about the photo shoot, are just like, I don't know in anyone's hands if it could be made super fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's a photo shoot. So it's not really Ariana's fault. It's just, that's just hard to make that, like, as, this is when, you know, people critical. It's like, it's hard to deny that a meditation with seven of the cast members where people are bawling crying, the focus is going to be on that scene
for sure,
right? That's where the counter programming theory comes into play.
Sure.
You know, where I just wish that they would have offered a little bit more in what's that called, in opposition to what Sandoval was bringing,
right? And I mean, I think this is like a little bit later, but the same scene, they reveal that they just didn't even show Katie on her date with that guy because also he seems like a fucking dud.
Okay.
He doesn't know what penne pasta is.
Yeah, and I'm fine being a little more critical.
Yeah, just critical. Even that was.
Yeah. Sorry. Major issues. I hope that people are just like, I hope it sounds okay. I can totally tell when you and I are just talking because we are adrift and we have no backup from each other. So I knew you were just on a tear there where you couldn't hear me, but now you can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, good. Yeah. Yes. No. I will say, I can say this as Katie's staunchest defender, that it's not a good sign if one of her dates, one of her first dates that we've seen post-satchel, Like, I don't know if Satchel is just looming so large in Katie's mind that she can never replace him, but the fact that one of her dates with an Ashina band member just had to be relegated to a 20-second clip about how he didn't know penne pasta, that means that scene was not at all powerful, right? Would you agree with me, or am I out on a limb glitched out on Riverside?
I agree, Riley.
Yeah, okay, good. Because you know that if producers wanted that scene to be longer. If they could have had that be longer, they would have wanted it. Where do you stand on the idea that if you don't know what penne pasta is, you don't get a second date?
I mean, I agree. That's kind of just like insane. Like, I feel like a toddler knows what that is.
Well, okay. Well, I was like worried, like if I was, you know, I don't date anymore, but if I was out on a date and I just like didn't know what like amuse-bouche was or something, like I would be sad if someone was like, yeah, you didn't know what that was. I never want to see that person again. Like, everybody flops a little bit on their first date. You're nervous. You say something weird, you know, or like you're not being your true self. I'd be really bummed out if I just asked a question about what's penne puttanesca or whatever, and Katie was like, I'm dropping you like a bad habit. I never want to see you again. I feel bad, kind of.
Yeah. But that guy didn't seem to have much personality anyways, so I think we're okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Well, so then when we get to the episode, I think the most meaningful part of the episode. So the guided meditation expert comes in, and she asks, well, first I thought it was interesting when he said, this is Graham, the dog. And he goes, actually, we're calling this dog Hippie now. I was like, are there any other circumstances in life where you would say the wrong name of a dog and then have to say right after the fact what you're actually calling it? Like, you know, the dynamic is weird,
yeah,
somewhere if you just called the dog the wrong name and then you have to correct yourself. That was, Shannon should have had her antennas up a little bit about what's going on in this group, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, you could have just let that one slide. I don't think she would have known.
Right. And then I liked this part. Shannon, was her name Shannon? I wrote down Shannon a lot. I think it was Shannon.
Okay. I believe you.
She said, tell me what the hell is going on with your group. And I liked Sandoval having to explain to this guided meditation expert what Scandoval was. You know, he says, I was in a long relationship and we were all friends. And then I cheated on my partner with a friend, and then it made everybody hate me. Right? That was his,
yeah,
like, summary.
He went all the way in.
That was his summary of Scandoval. And hearing it like that, straight from the horse's mouth or Sandoval's mouth, I was like, whoa. I mean, do you think that there's any world where Shannon didn't know that this is what she was getting into? Like, is she one of the only people in Lake Tahoe and in the world that had not heard one lick of Scandoval, you think?
I feel like she had to have known because of the way that she set up her activities. They were so intense and so specific that they felt very much catered to the situation.
They were so intense, you said, which I'm sure you're still talking. I can't hear you. What'd you say after so intense? I'm sorry. This is the worst. This is not indicative of Turtle Time's quality. If you're a first-time listener, I'm so sorry. But what were you saying after? Yeah, she prepared the scene to have the most impactful confrontation you could ever have, right?
Yeah, it felt very pointed and very, like, why would you ever do that with a normal group of people to say, what if this was the last time you ever saw them? Like, why would that be helpful to an average group of friends?
Yeah, could you imagine if you were just in a good place with all your friends and you were having the time of your life on a trip and then you had someone come over and then it was like you and I on a trip and it was like, look at Amy as if you will never see her again. It's like, you'd just be so sad for no reason. But so do you think that producers said this is the kind of meditation we want for the group?
I guess so. I mean, that's what it seemed like. Because, you know, on Housewives and stuff, they do stuff like that all the time with, like, shaman and, burning your demons or whatever, sweat lodge. So it's not unusual in the Bravo universe, but I guess it is for this group.
Yeah. So that's where I get sad when I know that the producer's strings are all over it, because I agree with you that in no way would a fun guided meditation expert come in without context and say, what if your best friend next to you just died? You know, talk to them as if they are going to die and you'll never see them again. It's a little heavy for a group. So that's where I think, but then also another thing that gets my eyebrow up and makes me not suspend disbelief or have my disbelief acted on is that why did Sheena choose, there was two spots, she could have chosen to sit next to Lala and Allie and be in between them, but she made her choice. I watched it three times. She made her choice to go sit on the other end of Sandoval, where there's not a lot of option for her to get out of at least having one moment with him. Did you agree with that?
Yeah, that was weird. That I wanted to know. I mean, I guess Brock was late and she was pissed about that, but I don't know how it turned out that she was on the edge and everyone else was over there, but and then Brock wouldn't let her weasel in anyways.
Yeah. So they have this beautiful moment where I did like what the guided meditation expert was saying. She was like, listen to the lapping of the lake and like think about your full life and your life is a movie. And I know they do keep showing these flashbacks, but for some reason it kind of hit me hard when you're imagining Sandoval like listening to this peaceful, beautiful lake and then being roused by all of these horrible images from his past. But I wanted to ask you, like, specifically, they were all like post Scandoval memories. There was Scandoval and his interactions where he was crying, you know, at his lowest, screaming to Lisa and crying. But then it showed his interactions with how he's behaved with James and Sheena. And I was like, why are those moments being included? Is it because they want him to be thinking about how he's acted like badly with James and Sheena already, and this is going to be a new leaf? Or something? Like, why specifically were those the flashback moments of his life? If he was thinking about his whole life, he would think about the good times with Ariana, beautiful moments of them, you know, covered in fruit, naked at the surf photo shoot, and then show him cheating on her. So why did they give him the, like, post-Scandoval flashbacks? I kind of wondered.
Yeah. I guess they're trying to keep it specific. They're like, this is what he currently has to overcome.
Right. And then, okay. So then I think once Shannon says, okay, now that you've thought about your entire lives, I want you to put your back up against someone next to you, and you're going to lean on this person, and you're going to tell this person what you need from them while you're leaning on them, right? That's what the exercise was. Like, please push me harder forward, or please, my back is falling, I need a little more support. That was that exercise, right?
Yeah.
And then, good. I know when you say yeah that you definitely heard me. So then Sheena, I'll just explain this scene, and then whenever I hear you, I'm gonna stop. Sheena, once she's heaving with breaths next to Sandoval's back and she's like really reckoning with who this person is, which I had my eye closed, my suspension of disbelief was on, and I was like, this is a big deal. Sheena, it has to be back to back with this person she loved who committed this heinous act that does not at all, she cannot reckon with or reconcile his past with what he did, which is how we feel as the viewers. I mean, I felt that way. I know there's been Sandoval haters all of his life, but I was not one of them. And I also can't reconcile Sandoval's horrific behavior to Ariana with how I thought he was before. So I understand why this was so profound or emotional to Sheena. And then she has to quit because she's crying so much. He's going, are you okay? Are you okay? Do you need more support from me? And she has to leave. She gets out of there. Brock has to follow her. And she's so upset with Brock because Brock wasn't there on time. And he put her in this sort of, she feels he put her in this uncomfortable position by having him not come to them and be in like a triangle. Brock says that he wanted Sheena to just have this moment with Sandoval. And that's why he left her over there. And so she sort of has to get her, what's that called? Like, Brock has to basically coax her back out and say that this is the moment you need to have with Sandoval. Like, these are the feelings you should have. And if you're uncomfortable touching him back to back, that's something that you need to confront.
Amy and I just got done taking two pisses remotely, and we had to switch devices because I'm sure, as you've noticed, Amy and I are not having our normal camaraderie when we talk, where one person says something and another person says something back. And that is because Amy and I really can't hear each other very well. So this is obviously one of the worst episodes of Turtle Time we've ever done. And it's very, very reminiscent of Natalie Portman's Smartless interview, like Amy said at the beginning of our recording session. So we ask that our little turtle cuties bear with us, you know, this week, please. And it'll never be like this again. Amy, do you agree with that?
Yeah, we need to invest in a corporate hotspot or something for all future remote records. But I think the cuties love us. And luckily, this episode wasn't one for the books of all times. So it's okay.
Right. Yeah, but even this will even the most loyal little turtle cutie, this will have to test their patience. And I know you could ask, you could say, Riley, why didn't you know that the shed was going to have horrible internet? And that's because I have never had a bad Riverside experience yet. And I can't believe this. So Amy and I are going to spend the next, 20 or so minutes just talking about the last of our thoughts about Vanderpump Rules. And then end this episode, early, unfortunately. But it has to be the case, given the limitations of our technology, right?
It's true. But we'll make the best of it. Hopefully our takes will be hot. I think this is the third time we've tried to record about Sheena's seat selection on the deck, why she ended up on the edge next to Sandoval for what turned out to be a back-to-back exercise. We will never know. Did the producers hold up Brock at the golf course? Did they get him to do all... how many holes are there? 18? 19?
Yeah, you said there was money on the board, and I had to do all 18 holes. But even if Brock... the way they left one seat between Ali and Lala and then one seat by Sandoval, it was like Sheena had a choice to make. And I don't think in any world could I imagine that Sheena would want to sit next to Sandoval unless she knew it would be very powerful for them to put their backs together, Right?
Yeah. I did like Brock's, he kind of put his producer hat on for a minute and was like, the audience needs resolution here. You need to grapple with this.
Yeah. So Sheena, they first have she goes, pretend your life is a movie that you're watching as the lapping of the lake is behind you. And it's kind of this serene, beautiful guided meditation where they're like, I forget all the things she's saying, but it's like, listen to the beautiful lake and then, and then play the movie of your life. And then they show Sandoval and his movie, is like a horror movie at the start of it. It's like him screaming and crying and saying he cheated, and like, it's the, I don't give a fuck about Raquel. And then they show his new interactions with James and Sheena and how he sort of flopped with his friends, post-Scandoball. And I'm wondering if that was like sort of like Tom Sandoval, look in your mind at how you've been acting post-Scandoball and treating James and Sheena. It's time to start having a new tact when you talk to them, because this is now a part of your life's history of like the horrible moments you've been going through. So I feel like, I guess that's what they were trying to say Tom Sandoval was reckoning with there.
Yeah, I'll never get over that clip of him at Villa Rosa, like banging on the window, like freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, man. I forgot how hard he cries in front of Lisa.
Yeah.
telling Lisa that. And then she says, okay, you just watched the movie of your life. Now I want you to put your back against the back of the person next to you, and you're going to lean on them and tell them what you need when you're leaning your back on them. So it's like, if you need more support, you have to let it be known. If their back is too rigid and you want them to soften their back, you got to tell them. And then when Sheena is back to back with Sandoval, she starts to get extremely upset because she's touching Sandoval's back for the first time, this back that she's known for a really long time. And, you know, she says that she, like, cannot fathom that this Sandoval that she has so much history with is the same person that did the worst thing in the world to her friend. And it makes her not, you know, trust him, you know, which makes sense. It's like, how, I don't think I truly know this person, you know? How could the person has been so nice to me and PayPal'd me thousands of dollars? How could this person have done this horrific act to my friend? And Sheena gets upset. She walks away for a second. Brock sort of coaxes her back and says, hey, I want you to have this moment. If you're uncomfortable with Sandoval, you got to tell him you're uncomfortable and work through that. And so when she comes back and they're looking at each other, she goes, I know I can't hate you forever, but I still have a hard time, you know, trusting you after this whole thing, right? And Tom Sandoval is sort of giving her a look back, and he's sort of like a dead stare where he knows that everything he says is going to be very scrutinized. So he's like, yeah. You know me.
Yeah. No, I like that. She was like, I don't know who you are. And he stares into her eyes and goes, yes, you do.
Yeah. And then
she's like, I know who you are to me, but not what you did to her or whatever. And he goes, you just don't understand. It's kind of like he was trying to, like, brainwash.
I thought that, too. I thought that you just don't understand. Like, the way he is talking is like a soothsayer a little bit. But also, I felt like he just did not want to say anything that had, like, the unaccountability. Like, any of the, like, petulant whatever. So he was just saying matter-of-fact things. And I kind of wondered what it is that he thinks that Sheena doesn't understand about this whole thing. Like, I felt like, is there some aspect of this that you just, like, haven't let Sheena in on? Or, mm-hmm. You're right, was he just being like, there's more to the story. I'll tell you, trust me. There's a way in which I look like the hero in this scenario. But regardless of whatever he was doing, it was very emotional for me to watch Sandoval and Sheena cry as they stare at each other and think about their history. And I felt what Sheena felt in terms of Sandoval, even as a viewer. I was like, you did something so horrible that it made us retroactively doubt everything you've ever done. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of wild to be in that position, especially for Sheena, way more than the audience. So I really felt the power of that scene. No matter what little artifice brought us to that point, I was proud of them for creating a very powerful scene between these two cast members that we've watched for 11 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. And I like everyone else was kind of just having a good time. Like Lala and Schwartz had fun with it. Everyone else was kind of just like, this is whatever. And then Sheena's having like a full mentee bee on the side. It like couldn't have been worse for her.
Yeah. And I liked when, Schwartz and Lala's little moments where she was like, are you breathing, Schwartz? He was like, yeah, you can't feel my breath. And then he was like, let's sync up our breaths. And then he goes, there you are. And I thought that was like, I like they're a new formed duo right now. Like they've hated each other or just like not really cared about each other, but they sort of have a unique dynamic together. I kind of like that.
Yeah. And it plays into my theory that also it's like, yeah, does Lala really need to use her energy in life to have Schwartz as an enemy? Like she's like, who gives a shit? He's kind of just like, you know, a himbo. He's kind of fun to be around. I'll just take it easy and not torture myself by making him my enemy.
Yeah. And also I like that they all sort of got out of the way of what Sheena and Sandoval were dealing with, because it was 10 times more emotional than what they're dealing with. And then when they got to that point, I forget, how does Sheena resolve it? She just says, like, I'm not going to go on hating you anymore, sort of.
She kind of just, like, has to bow out at a certain point. Like, yeah, she says that hating him is not good for her. And, you know, but it's, you know, she also brings up the whole, like, suicide thing. She said that was, you know, it was intense for her to do the, like, last time you'll see him again thing, because for a long time, I guess, she said she was afraid he would do something to himself, which I don't know if she actually thought that or if that's just what Lisa put in her head recently. But she kind of just, they can't keep going back and forth because it's awkward, and she eventually just gives up and, like, leaves and is like, that's the limit.
Yeah. What did you think about Sandoval when he was looking at Sheena and he was saying, like, when I thought about never seeing you again in my life, I got really sad. But then I just started to think about all of the beautiful moments that we've had in the past, and I started to celebrate them. What did you think about that?
It was sweet. I don't know. Sorry. It was like, regardless of anything, like, I think the specific OG cast members of this show have a kinship, and, like, no one can relate to what they've been through the way, you know, those main, you know, however many of them there are, can, because they started, you know, at Villa Blanca or whatever, and now they're in this whole crazy situation, and there's only, like, a handful of people. It's like, I feel like being on the show Friends, like, only the six friends can understand the phenomenon, you know?
Yeah, I agree. As, like, a thought experiment, I was going to ask, do you think that if the world hadn't hated Sandoval as much as they do now, that the cast would have taken their cues a little more and been able to get over this faster? Like, is a part of Sheena being so upset and scared of, like, any scene with Sandoval because she knows that the world hates him, so it's even harder for her to make that bridge? Like, did we sort of alter how the cast feels about Sandoval by hating him so much?
Probably. I mean, it's certainly harder to go out on a limb for him in this society than it would normally be. Like, you really have to be willing to put your reputation on the line, because the second you give him an inch, the entire internet comment section is gonna kill you.
I have a question too. When they start to talk about the photo with Tom Sandoval, which gets brought up, Sheena is the only one that gets vitriol from this photo. Like, they keep saying Sheena's photo with Tom, Sheena and Tom. It's like every single other person was in that same photo. Just the fact that Brock and Sheena were literally surrounding him, I was like, why is Sheena getting all the blame? Every other cast member was in this exact same photo. She's just physically touching him. You know what I mean? Like, no, I think all of the blame was on her.
The internet is generally not on her side. Like, every time I see something, I watched a video of Ariana's Chicago rehearsal, and all the comments are like, this has to be killing Sheena. What is Sheena doing right now? And then, I mean, she didn't really help herself, because in the after show, she talks about Dancing with the Stars and how she's like, she knew how much that was always my dream, but I supported her. Like, she does always bring it back to herself in a way that is funny and dependable.
Right. It is dependable. It's like, when you know a facet of somebody's personality, you just start to just take it into account. You know what I mean? Like, no one can blame Sheena, but I did like that at the end, she was like, why can't anything be about me? And it's like, everyone accuses you of making everything about you. And then the one thing you want from all of this is for you to have something for yourself. So it's like Sheena actively wants more for her. But I don't know. I don't know if that's like the audience perception. I mean, I don't know. I find that endearing, like you said. I find that to be a facet of Sheena's character. But it's interesting that there's such a disparity in her mind between how much she makes things about her and how much actually she feels like it is for her. She brings up that her wedding to Brock wasn't about Sheena, it was about Katie. And Katie's reaction to going to Sheena's wedding. Like, Sheena can have no moments in the sun just for herself. She feels, you know, whether that's true or not, you know, that's debatable. So, and also that is starting to affect Sheena's relationship with Ariana, because Ariana won't give her a moment to say, Sheena, which I don't know, maybe Ariana has, but she says it hasn't been enough of validating Sheena's feelings. And then in Ariana's defense, she's saying, why do I have to be the person to validate your feelings about this despicable man who ruined my life and your relationship with him? So,
yeah,
it's just a difference. Yeah,
it is weird because it does seem like Sheena's asking permission without saying it. Because it's like Ariana is going through the same thing that you are. Like, she also spent that many years with him thinking he was, you know, her best friend and all this. And so it's like weird to ask for her sympathy when like she's dealing with it on a much higher level.
Yeah, definitely. That's some of the nuance that I like about the show. The fact that I can see a little bit of merit in what Sheena's saying and a lot of merit, you know, in what Ariana's saying. But I just, how they're going to deal with this is the stuff that I'm interested in, you know?
Yeah.
So
did
far,
you? Yeah, what did you think about when Katie, she shots fired in the after show? She said that Sheena's a... seeks male approval.
She seeks male validation. Yeah. I mean, I found that to be shots fired as well. I mean, in Katie's defense, the way Sheena reacted post Schwartz and Katie breakup, immediately wanting to be Schwartz's wing woman and get him out there, and loving life, being on Team Schwartz, and being critical of Katie. Like, you could say, okay, I don't really know where all this pro-Schwartz energy came from for Sheena. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I would never say that. So I guess, you know what I mean? That's a huge claim, and Ariana didn't really dispel that at all. I mean, Ariana didn't say any counter to that.
I mean, don't necessarily disagree. I think Sheena has, since the beginning, straight up said, I think she said out loud in the early seasons that she's a guy's girl, which is always a bit of a red flag. But also, she doesn't get much love from the girls historically, maybe partially for that reason, but it would make sense to me that she would turn to the men if she got a better reaction from them than, you know, historically with Katie or with Stassi or whatever, it's kind of sad. I feel bad for Sheena. She's always just trying to like make it work.
Me too. I feel bad for Sheena too when she has to say, like on podcasts, she has to say, like, I've never been the number one person in this group. I've never been the favorite. And like, I think even one of the questions on Watch What Happens Live was something about Sheena, like, I don't know, would you forgive, like, should Sheena forgive her or something about like liking Sheena or whatever. And it was like the audience was completely divided 50-50. And I feel like that's
it. They also asked, would you want to see Sheena on Dancing with the Stars? And it was like, no.
Yeah, no, that I think that was the question where it was like, or one of them was 50-50. And I was like, that's the Vanderpump Rules fan base. They're like very divided on Sheena. And, you know, I could never be a Sheena hater, but I guess if you just really do not like someone that you think is always thinking about themselves, then maybe that's just something you can never get over. But for me, that's just a fun, like you said, funny facet of Sheena. But you know that she has a good heart and a pure soul. And she just has that one quirk where she wants things to be about her whenever she can get, you know, attention. But I don't know about the male validation thing. I want to see Sheena's response to that, to be honest. I can't wait for Sheena to see that. That's a huge accusation and a huge characterization of Katie to make. And if I was Sheena, you know, I think that requires a response. I mean, maybe she'd be able to justify the Schwartz sympathy. And then now, obviously, we know what she's going through with Sandoval. We can understand that. So I don't know if I think that was a big accusation for Katie to hurl at Sheena.
Yeah, I'm curious about how the reunion will be affected by these after shows, because they're going to have to account for that footage and all of those sound bites, because it's almost like you're getting like a weekly mini reunion. Like, it's not everybody in one room, but it's like, you know, pairs of them, and they're giving commentary. So I think it'll be interesting. I feel like this is the new version of like the blog of Bravo's past, you know, where like so many Housewives reunions are all about the blogs and like how rude people's blogs were or whatever, like Carol Radziwill's blogs, Bethany got so mad about. So I think that'll be interesting because it adds like another layer of things to get mad about.
Yeah. And so far, I know Beverly Hills had an after show. And so far in part one, they didn't show any comments made at the after show. So I don't know if they're going to factor that in. I'm sort of glad the blog era is over because I never read them. I was always watching, and that was far in the past. And so I was just like, this is some random context that I don't really need. I'm sorry that Carol said some horrible stuff about Bethany in her blog, but I don't think they should have been talking about that at the reunion. It's like,
you didn't really go to bravotv.com for more information?
So, well, I guess, you know, you and I have to sort of stop this short because this is going to be the worst episode of Turtle Time we've ever had by far. But overall, I think I'll just say my final thoughts and then I'll ask you. I really love the meditation scene, but it's hard for me not to think about the unreality of all of the stuff that went into getting Sheena and Sandoval to be sitting together at Lake Tahoe. And I don't think they've ever had this big of an issue that they've had to overcome in terms of getting the audience to participate in the reality TV version of this. And so now I'm just like, I don't think any of this would have happened, you know, had not the show happened. And so I'm skeptical of all of the decisions they're all making. And I don't know. I think that's just because Scandoval got so big that it created a version of the show where it's bigger than the cast members. And I don't know if maybe they're artificially inflating their hatred towards Sandoval right now because they know that the audience would be absolutely so pissed at them, you know? And if the audience would have said, Ariana cheated, you know, with, you know, when he was dating Kristen, we actually think that this is on par with all cheating scandals and we're ready to forgive him. If the world had been like that, what would this season have been like? So I feel like the popularity a little bit affected this show. And for every good scene, there's a lot of caveats for me in what went into making this happen. And so that's just my thoughts on this. And it's really becoming apparent now that we're at the sixth episode of this season. How about you?
Yeah. I did think that the scene towards the end between Tom and Lala was interesting, just in that I feel like she teed him up pretty nicely to do a simple apology.
Yeah.
And he decided to compare her not talking about Randall to be the same as him hiding a 7-month affair, which is not apples to apples, in my opinion. It felt like a weird hill to die on for him and unnecessary. But I was laughing when Sheena finally like went off on him and explained what she was saying. He was like, quite honestly, I don't think I understood what you were saying.
I like that too. I like that. Be honest. He's like, hey, sorry. I got you wrong. I didn't get it. I like how clearly Sheena explained. Like she did a really good job of explaining. I think Lala gave her credit in the after show for being like, thank you so much for being the translator there.
I like that. Because Lala was just triggered by him and he was triggered by her and they just weren't even like communicating any longer. And like, she was so outraged and he was so outraged. And it's like, wait, what is in the middle here? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, who gives a shit if she didn't talk about Randall? Like, that's annoying, but it's not like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. That's a resentment that I understand from, like, you know, that's a classic problem, but it's not the same.
Yeah, well, no, it's just the same. It's the same thing he's been doing with everyone. It's just what Stassi accuses him of. Like, he is go pulling in the past to saying, you're the same as me. And unfortunately, yeah. That doesn't work because we consider this the worst thing that anyone's ever done. And no one needs anything brought up from the past. Everyone has already come to terms with everything that has happened in the past, except for this. I don't know why he just keeps forgetting that one lesson that everyone has told him. Full contrition, no excuse. I will be listening and I will be here for you if you ever want to reach back out to me because I want your friendship. What he did with James last
yeah.
week. He just, again, he defaulted. His brain was off, and he didn't know what the hell he was talking about. He just immediately defaulted to, what's that called when you bring up someone else's, he's bringing up that everyone is a hypocrite in this group.
Yeah.
At a time when he should really just be apologizing to everyone.
Right. I think it was interesting, the last thing I'll say is that the money of it all got brought up, and they talked about it on the after show where Ariana and Katie were saying, you know, Ariana feels a little bit like she thinks Sheena feels like she owes him now because he gave her that money. And Katie was saying he's always trying to be that guy. He does it to make himself feel good. If it were her, she would have returned the money. Like, she wouldn't have taken it. And I could tell that Ariana, like, kind of wanted to not defend him, but say that she knows that side of him and that he is generous. Like, you could tell that's what she wanted to say, or like
yeah.
how she feels. But she didn't quite go there.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't fully double down with Katie and say that it's all bullshit.
Yes.
But then, so I thought that was interesting because I'm like, yeah, like, you were with him for 10 years. You liked something about him, you know? Like, it wasn't just all total lies. Then they go over to Tom and Tom, who, like, every time they cut to them, he says some dumbass shit. And he's like, I always say you should give a homeless person $100 on your birthday. And then he did this weird thing, Tom Sandoval, where he showed the audience how to give a homeless person $100. Like, he got yeah. out of his chair and like he said, hey, can you hold this? And ran away. And he was like, you got to do it really fast and really quick. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, why? Why can't the homeless person look in your face for 1 second and see the person that gave you $100? He said he does that, like, so that, like, it's barely a thought in your mind. It's just like the breeziest action or whatever. But I don't know why that makes that better. You're right. There's a lot of statements he makes in the after show where you're like, wait, hey, come on, please stop saying this kind of stuff.
I recommend that people watch that because it honestly looked like he was about to assault the person. He was like, oh, like, I'd be scared if he came at me like that.
He goes, run with $100, go right up to him, go, here, you drop something, and then run away. I do the exact opposite. I count the dollars in front of me. I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I make them thank me personally for what I bestowed upon them. Remember when
you
we were talking
your finger.
About... Yeah, remember we were talking about altruism, like, 2 episodes ago?
Yeah.
We sort of hit the nail on the head. It's, you said it best. You said, even if you are just trying to get a little boost for yourself to pick you up, or Shorts kind of said it too.
Yeah.
Like, it's still a good thing, and no one has to know the deep hell that you're in that made you want to seek penance by giving money. It's just,
yeah.
you know, sometimes it's just a thoughtful gesture, and so I kind of like that.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. They got into it, but this is the first time that I've seen Ariana, like, have to think about whether or not she wanted to go all in on saying that he was 100% garbage and never
yeah.
did anything good.
You're right. Yeah, this is the first time that she allowed a potentially sympathetic view of Sandoval come in post-Scandoval. I will say, in Ariana's defense, I know we're critical of, like, the storylines that her and Katie are providing because they're sandwich-oriented, but I remember hearing that Ariana was very aggrieved during this period, and almost she thinks that she went too far with, like, her rage, and, like, she was in a different mind state. But so far, I don't think Ariana is nearly close to the wrath that she had in the reunion. Like, in those 3 to 4 months, she has come to a completely different place in how she's dealing with Sandoval. And I haven't sensed the, like, absolute vitriol that I think she was worried about. I think she's been sort of, I think she's right in saying, like, I'm making this line in the sand where I don't want, you know, the same friends with Sandoval or whatever. Because it's just, you know, this is not naturally what would happen in my life. I don't want him to have access to me. And so I'm just saying that I think she's justifying her behavior more. And I almost thought that there would be maybe 10 to 20% more of the wrath she had in the reunion. And so far, I haven't really seen that. And I'm sure she's even now even more far removed, where she wouldn't even feel the same way that she's feeling in all of these scenes now when this was filmed. Sorry.
Yeah. I wonder if, I guess, I don't know. There is footage of, they're getting stuff of her on Broadway, right? Like, I feel like I saw some fan video or something where it looks like there are cameras there.
Yeah, I think they probably are. I don't know. I can't confirm that, but I did see big gigantic cameras following her.
Yeah, I mean, they have to cover that. That's like kind of a big deal.
When do you think we'll be going to Chicago to see the show?
Her final days are upon us. We'd have to go soon.
All right. Well, let's figure that out. Once I get out of this shed with no internet, let's figure out how we can fly to New York, whatever way we can get there and see Ariana.
Maybe we can do an episode on the plane just using the Bogo Wi-Fi.
Do a Turtle Time episode on the way there?
Yeah.
Just to see
if it would sound really good.
Just to see if we can have a worse episode than this.
Is it possible?
I don't think so. Okay, well, let me say all of our... I'm just going to say, you know, Amy and I were very technologically at a disadvantage this episode. We hope there was some power in the first hour, and we don't even know if this phone quality is even going to sound good at all. Who the hell knows? But just know that this is a rare occurrence, and we sort of pulled a full-blown Natalie Portman on Smart List, like Amy said, at the top of the hour. So forgive us, please. Sometimes a podcast needs your forgiveness. Would you agree with that, Amy?
We're like the Tom Sandoval of podcasts.
Please don't pull quote that.
No, you're give right. us a five-star Sometimes... review and say that.
No, I think that we're only going to release this episode if it sounds good, so who knows if it does. And we'll only release it if there was... I think I would release it just because I do think there was some nuggets of good quality in there, but this is not at all representative of the Turtle Time ethos. This was down and out one of the worst episodes we've ever done. And we'll be back. Once I'm back in person, I swear, we are going to rip it and grip it. Right? Like
oh, yeah,
we never
have
before.
To make it up to them.
Yeah, we will for sure. I mean, I get back on Tuesday of next week, and so we got to figure out how we make, you know, one of the best episodes of all time next week to make it up to all of our wonderful little turtle cuties.
Yeah, we're also nearing on our 1-year anniversary, so we have to talk about that too.
Wow, I love that for our 1-year anniversary, we decided to make one of the worst episodes of all time. But no, we will. Maybe let's. No matter what, this is not our 1-year anniversary episode. Next week, next week is that okay to say?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, Amy, thank you for bearing with me during this horrible time, you know, in my life remotely. But you did a great job. It was only me who did so bad. Okay.
Don't take all the heat. It could have been both of us. I don't know.
No, it was definitely me. Look at where I'm at. I'm in a little shed with no internet. Okay, well, we love you, our little turtle cuties, and don't rate us this week. For the love of God, do not give us a rating. Please, please, please.
Don't no, rate a review. Week.
Do not rate a review. Absolutely not. Please, and don't even really think about us too much this week. Anyway, all right, we love you, and we are signing off. Bye, Amy.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.